Today we're going to talk about the consequences of talking too much or talking, saying the wrong things, the folly of speaking incorrectly. And one of the challenges of our lives is to say the right thing when everything is going wrong. How many people will you ever jam your finger? What comes out? Praise the Lord! You know, I was thinking about this, and the Lord reminded me something. You know, how many of you confess Jesus as your Lord? You confess one time or another, you confess Jesus. How many of you continue to confess that? How many of you confess sometimes your sin when you have to sin? Amen? You confess God's word is true? Well, the Bible talks about that. You know, there's four confessions mentioned in the New Testament. One of them, of course, with the Jews confessing their sin. And that's not Christian confession when they went to the water there and they were getting baptized. You know, they confess their sins. It's a type of a confession. You know, when we came to Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, y'all remember that? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Or, you know, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes. Everybody say, with my heart, I believe. So what is the heart? Your heart is your spirit. The Bible says that man is composed of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. 2 Thessalonians says that man is a spirit. He possesses a soul, lives in a physical body. That's the way we put it anyway. You know, you're an eternal being. You're a spirit being. And you'll live forever, whether you go to heaven or that awful place they call hell. And the only way to get there is to confess Jesus, make him your Lord, and you all done that. The Bible says we confess. Let's go to that scripture, if you don't mind. I'm just kind of deviating from my notes because I feel it's important. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I want you to see this. I'm trying to make a point here before we start. Last week we talked about less talk, less trouble. I wanted to talk about more trouble, more talk, more trouble. But I call this session the consequences of speaking wrong. And it says in the scripture, this is how everyone got born again. If I remember correctly, I don't know if y'all did something different. But this is the way we got saved. You know what? I got born again. I was 24 years old when I got born again, watching Billy Graham crusade. and Billy Graham said, you know, there was a song called "Just as I Am," without one plea, and beautiful choir, Billy Graham choir, George Beverly Shea singing his in baritone voice. I heard the song singing. And he said, if you would just, wherever you are, if you would pray this prayer and make Jesus Lord, say this prayer. And this is the essence of what we did or what I did back then. And I believe that every one of you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You did two things. Number one, you believe from your heart and you confess with your mouth. That is what the Bible calls the God kind of faith. I said, that is what the Bible calls the God kind of faith. Because there's the man kind of faith. Man's kind of faith believes that, oh, if the circumstances are bad, that's going bad for me. If the door is open and that God's opening the door, well, it may or may not be. An open door doesn't mean God opened that door. Could be you open it or somebody else open it or the devil open it. We're led by our spirit. And I find there's a lot of folks just they're being led by how they feel. And whether or not the things will look good, and just living natural. But We need to use your head too, right? It says in here, if thou shalt confess with your mouth. If nobody else can do this for you, you have to do it for yourself. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart. Believing in your heart. What in the world does believing in the heart mean? Is that same like believing with your pancreas? Believing with your liver? Well, he's not talking about the body part here. The heart in that verse of scripture refers to the spirit, the core of man, the center of man, the inward man. You could say it like this: if thou shalt believe with your inner man, your man on the inside, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, or you shall receive salvation. That's how we all began our journey as born-again Christians, as children of God. We confess, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you went to the cross for me. I believe you took my sins. Jesus, I believe that. I invite you in my heart. I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. I'm going to walk with you. And I promise I'm going to read the Bible and all that stuff, whatever you promise after. But the essence is right here. That's how you got saved. You confess Jesus as Lord. Everybody say, I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. So this is how it all began. This is how you started life. Keep that thought in mind. I want you to understand this. The major way of expressing your faith is saying with your mouth, is speaking it out. And I want to add, is whatever you say, is your heart speaking or is your faith speaking? Whatever you say every day about life is what you believe. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, what we believe comes out of our heart. Your heart is your spirit. We pour the word of God into our spirit so that we can dictate our lives by it. We can move around with our... So we move our lives by our tongue. You know, there's science proves that. You know, your tongue is actually hooked up to your brain. There's been studies that show that whatever you say, your brain, it kicks in. If you say, I'm never going to make it. I'm weak. I always get sick every fall. You know, your brain starts to kick in. Your body starts to start moving towards that. I mean, it's astounding how things work. Your body is connected to your spirit. Your spirit affects your body, and it's interconnected. You can't just sort of compartmentalize. Well, I'm just saying that for nothing. You know, you keep saying things, and eventually you believe it. So we started out with this prayer in our Christian life. And I want to say this. That for the rest of your life, this is how you'll get everything else from God. Let me just say that again. This is how you will get everything else from God. People call it sometimes prayer, I'm going to pray. Well, a lot of times you don't have to pray about anything. All you have to say is, God's word is true, I believe it. I accept that, Lord, thank you. I believe that you confess the word of God. Somebody said you could either pray it or you could either say it. Because praying is saying something. You know, prayer is talking to God, right? Prayer is communing with God. You know, I mean, that's another subject, but prayer is not just you talking to God, but also you listening to God. And he talks to you, you talk to him, you listen, and he talks to you, and it goes the back and forth. So prayer is not just a one-way street. So what has God been saying? He told this guy he better go south. Okay, so this is the way it is. So we we have to understand that God wants to take us, and He wants us to say the right things, talk right. And so there's a scripture over in, I'm going to deviate a little more. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Please put that up there. I want you to see Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk ye in Him. How do we walk? We walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith. You know, faith is expressed in two ways. Our faith life is expressed in two ways. Number one is primarily what you say. Primarily what you say, what you confess about God, what you confess about the devil is your faith talking. You say, oh, you know, that devil is strong. You know, he's always after me. You're talking about, that's your faith talking. That's what you believe. So, as you have therefore received Christ. You know, how did you receive Christ? Well, you received Him by confessing Him as Lord of your life. And He says, so walk ye in Him. In other words, this is the way you have to walk. This is the way you walk. You must continually confess that Jesus is not only Savior of your spirit, but He's also Savior of your mind, your body, and everything else. He's the Savior of your life. Lord over everything of your life. Make Jesus Lord of your body. Make Jesus Lord of your entire life. How do you do that? By looking at the scripture and saying what it says about you. How many of us have confessed what other people have said about us in a negative way? They say, oh, I'm too short. I'm too small. I'm too big. I have a big nose. Well, maybe you have a big nose, but that doesn't have to stop you. Right? You can't change that unless you go for surgery. Robbie had one. I'm just kidding. No, he never did. You know, you could try to change things, but listen, you know, like you have to be able to say what God says about you instead of what everybody else saying. What does God say about you? You're more than a conqueror. How many of you believe that? Huh? You're more than a conqueror. How many believe that you're forgiven? Huh? How many believe that your faith works even in tough times? Yeah. So you need to say those things, you know. I'm getting out of this. I like that Psalm 100, and I think you guys sing this song, Rob, some of your sessions, some of your outreaches. Psalm 118, verse 17. The man's confessing something. He says, I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I want to tell God, I want to tell everybody what God's done in my life. Some of us who went to jail, you know, some of us went to jail. You know, and then in jail, we pray, oh God, if you just get me out of this time, I promise you. Oh, I promise you I'll never drink again. I'll never do this. And then you get out the first day you get out. He's sitting in the bar room. I'm just going to visit my friends. Now he's back at it again. I want to talk over here a little bit. You guys look a little bit more friendly. These guys over here look like that. So therefore, how did you receive Jesus? You received Him by faith. And you said, Jesus is Lord of my life. I believe He rose from the dead. What we need to confess, what's Jesus doing now? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's your high priest. You know what a high priest does in the Old Testament? Ministers before the people, whatever they need, right? Before God, he represents, you know, he stands between there. And Jesus, under the new covenant, he's standing right there at the high priest. At the right hand of the Father, this is the Father, and whatever you say, he's going to make it happen. Amen. Whatever you say. Didn't Jesus, you know, here's the principle, the illustration. The lady with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, you know, verse 34, Jesus said, you know, your faith has made you well. He didn't say, oh, because I'm so anointed. Power is coming out of me. He didn't say that. He said, oh, you know, because you prayed, so, oh, I just feel so bad for you. You know, he didn't say that. He said, you know, he didn't take credit for it. He said, he told the woman, your faith did it. Mark chapter 5, check it out. She said, your faith has made you well. In verse 28, the woman said this, if I could just get to Jesus and touch his garment. If you look at the Amplified Bible says, she kept saying to herself. She kept talking to herself. She kept speaking to herself. That's what the scripture says. She kept talking to herself. If I can't just get there, if I touch him, I'm going to be well. I'm going to be well. That's her faith talking. The Bible says that, first of all, this woman, the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind. Well, I wonder what she heard about Jesus. She heard that Jesus is anointed. If I can just touch him, man, I can receive some of that anointing. Just like Acts 10:38 says, right? How God anointed Jesus. He was so full of the anointing and power. Went about doing good. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Remember, he said that in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And he said that. And so this woman took it upon herself to make that a confession of her faith. She said, if I can just touch Jesus, I will be made well. I'm going to be made well. I will be made well. That's like saying what they said right there over there. Psalm 118, verse 17, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Yeah. What are you saying in your tough time? The woman was having a tough time, I'm sure. This, you know, the psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 17, was having a tough time. One of the hardest things a Christian can do is learn to speak right. When everything is going wrong, everything is against you, don't go and tell people how bad things are. Don't shut your mouth and talk to God about it and just leave it like that. And don't even go and complain to anybody. Don't say nothing to anybody. Act like the Word of God is true for you. Act like the Word is true. Act like God's already on the case for you. He's working at it no matter how it looks. That's called faith. We sang a song this morning. I don't know how it goes. It sounds like this. I mean, how it sounds. I don't know how it sounds, but it goes something like this. One thing I will remain confident in this. One thing I will remain confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord. One thing I will remain confident in this. The Bible says, you know, in 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything. Yeah. Hebrews 11 says, you know, faith, one thing about faith is the confidence of things not seen. And so we need to remain steadfast in the Word of God. Steadfast to sing about the things of God. Steadfast to say what God's saying about us, not what everybody else is saying about you. So, now we can start a lesson. Let's go to our scripture verses here. So we want to talk about the consequences of wrong talk. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest Who has a great high priest? We do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, who's that? Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is your high priest, my high priest. He's passed into the heavens, the scripture says. He's the Son of God. Then it says there, let us hold fast our profession. If you look at other verses of scripture, if you look at another versions, it says that let us hold fast our confession. What is the word confession? The word confession is a Greek word homologio. It means same as, translated same as, or literally speaking, speak the same as, to speak the same as, to speak the same as God. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast what God says about us. Let us hold fast about what the scripture says, who we are. Let us hold fast about what God says about your trial and your trouble happening right now. You know, so many people, here's what I learned. I've heard this saying before, but now I understand it. So many people are praying about things they don't have to pray about. You waste all your time praying about things God already settled. I'll say it again this way, over here. So many things God already settled. People spend time praying about stuff like money. You don't have to pray about money. Like people pray, God, give me $35 or $37,000, whatever. God says, I'll supply all your needs. Go ahead, it's in the fridge, take it. You come to my kids, never said, Dad, please. No, I said, well, the food's in the fridge. Go ahead, take it. It's yours. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son? How many of you remember it? Let me see your hand. You remember the prodigal son? Okay. So I want to say, because if some people don't know, I want to say some things about it. The prodigal son, the man had two sons. One guy said, the younger guy said, give me my money, my inheritance. I want to go. He went out, spent it all right on righteous living. Not righteous living, but righteous living. He just went and spent it all. He spent it on prostitutes and money, gambling. Whatever he did, he went and drank and took drugs, whatever he did. I don't know what he did in his day, I guess. But anyway, when all his money is gone, he found himself alone. You know what your real friends are? Who you see sometimes Wednesday night, that's your real friend. Not the ones on Friday night when you got lots of money. So anyway, he finds himself, the Bible said he came to his mind, came to himself. He said, I'm going back to my father. I'm not worried to be called a son anymore. I put him to shame, so forth. He must have felt bad. Then he goes home and the Bible says that, you know, his father must have been waiting for him. He saw his son coming way down there. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to stand at the post, and my cousin Ed would know that about, you know, in Suckle Creek, we had a little post there, like a hill and a post, and then there's a river back over there, and then a long stretch of road, about maybe 2 miles or 3 kilometers up, and over a big bridge. I could see far away. I could see my dad coming. I recognized my dad's walk. From miles. I noticed my dad. I know how he walks, if he's holding an axe or a pack sack, and, you know, if he's got a bag. My dad never drove a car, never had license in his life. He was a hunter-trapper. So if my dad's walking down the road, I know it's him coming. I would get excited because my dad's coming. He's got a bag. Surely he's got something for me. Anyway, the prodigal son, the dad, you know, he must have been looking down that road. He saw the son coming. He gets all excited. He said, let's throw a party for him. Let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a great time. Let's have a great time. The Bible says that the other son, the older son, says he was mad. He didn't even go out there. And he got mad at the other son because he said, you know, He said, you know, Dad, I've been here all the time with you. I never went anywhere. I just worked with you. I served you all my life. And, you never throw me a party. And he's jealous. It's like sometimes in the church, some people are jealous when some people who go in and out of the church, they still get blessed. They still get healed. But them, they're serving in the church and working themselves to a frazzle. But they don't seem to get any help. But they get mad at the other one. So the boy said, you never throw me a party. You know what God said, in his word? The word says, you know, he said, all that I have is yours, belongs to you. You can have a party anytime you want. Let me just tell you something. You can have a party anytime you want. everything I have, he said, all that I have is yours. That's what he told his son. You read it. He said, all that I have is yours. You know, that's God talking to you and me. Everything that God has, everything that Jesus paid for belongs to you. A lot of times, like I go back to that point again, you don't have to pray for stuff. Just believe the word and confess. Just like you confess Jesus is Lord. Say, God's my provider. I know he's going to make something come to me. I know money's coming to me. Instead of saying, you know what? I never have enough money. I always run into trouble. Every time I do good, something bad happens to me. We can't say that because it's working against yourself. So let us hold fast our confession. Romans 4:14. What does that mean? Hold fast your confession, profession, confession. It means to, some of our toughest times in life, we go through hard times. It's easy to let go, let your tongue slip, and begin to say things that are negative. When somebody shoots you a bad message, either on Facebook or whatever, you want to say something bad. You know, take some time. Just don't rush and just stay. Let God talk to you about that. Respond. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? A lot of times he just turned around and didn't say anything. Go over to James chapter 3. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast of saying what God says about us. James chapter 3. Verse 2 and verse 6, the World English Bible. So some of you guys, world travelers, you might understand this version. Some of you just community members won't understand this, so just take your time. We'll read the Amplified later. James chapter 2, James chapter 3, excuse me, verse 2 and verse 2, verse 6. World English. For in many things we all stumble. If anyone doesn't stumble in the word, the same as a perfect man. Everybody say perfect man. The word perfect man means a mature person. Mature people just don't say things. If you're mature in Christ, you don't just say whatever you want to say. How many people know you don't say whatever is in your mind all the time? Right? You don't just say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Wait a minute, God's talking to me. Okay. I'm glad you talked to the police officer real well. Praise God. Okay. If anyone doesn't stumble in the word, the same as a perfect man, he's able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us. And we guide their whole body. Behold, the ships also, though they are so big and are driven by fierce winds, yet are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. So is the tongue is also a little member. It boasts great things. See how a small fire can spread to a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity among its members is a tongue. It defiles the whole body. It sets on course the nature and is set on fire by Gehenna. Now I want to just say something here that surprised me. I go to the hospital lots of times, throughout, you know, during the week. Sometimes I pray for different people. They ask to pray. Sometimes I'll go to the hospital, and I'll meet people there at the front. And so they talk to me, and they want me to pray with them. I don't always pray with everybody because some people are not ready for prayer. Because you pray for them, you'll disappoint them. So you just pray, God bless them. So that's, you know, how many people understand this? You can't just pray for everybody right off the bat. In our Christian compassion, we want to just reach out and pray and make it better for them right away. Boo-boo. You got a boo-boo? Let me pray for you. That's not how it works in faith. So we have to talk to people. And Jesus talked to people. He said, how long does it happen to your child? Or what do you believe about that? And so anyway, I went to my cousin. A week ago? Sunday. Last Sunday, my cousin Hawkins Wesley, he's like a medical van driver from our reserve over here, Long Lac 58 First Nation, and he brings people in for medicals. And that day he had two young ladies in there with babies, I heard, infants, and then some other people. I think there was six people in there. And so there was the truck decided to turn right off onto the Pass Lake. There's a truck stop. Anyway, he's turning. And a young fellow, I think he's 17 years old. All you 17-year-olds, better watch this. He pulls in front of that truck, and my cousin hits him, tries to avoid him. He said, he tells me, the brake was no good. I just put on the brake. There's no sense, you know. And bang, he's hit the thing, and all of a sudden, now he don't remember a lot of things. He talked to the police and stuff, and they flew him to Thunder Bay. So he totaled the van. The vehicle flipped over. The babies were okay, and the moms were okay. Everybody was okay except him. He had a broken collarbone, collapsed lung, cracked ribs, and so on. He looked horrible. I went to see him. He looked like a really overweight chipmunk. It's just really bad. I mean, just really, really. He looked like he was really, really bad. I mean, he was just like water, retaining water. You know how people just look like he's a picture of death? I talked to him. He said to me, we prayed for him here on Wednesday, on Tuesday. We prayed for a number of people. In fact, you know, we prayed for a number of individuals who asked us to pray, so we prayed. So to see him, here's Pastor Roma, a man of faith, going to visit his cousin. I looked at him. I mean, he's like, he's going to die any second. He says to me, I'm leaving at the end of the week. What? He said, I'm going to leave at the end of the week. I said, okay, he'll probably leave if he wants to, but he's not going to leave this week. He's in bad shape. You know, he's out. He came out. If I was praying for him, I'd have to change my faith position pretty quick. Because his faith got him out of there. He got what he said. I said, he got what he said. Let me just say it one more time. He got what he said. I mean, that's where his faith. His faith was, I'm getting out of here. We're going to break out. Where's that, you know? So this is amazing. The Bible says in this verse of Scripture, your tongue is act like a rudder on a ship. It'll take you to your destination sooner or later, whatever you've been saying. It'll change. It talks about, you know, it affects your whole body. It'll affect your body. And so we need to speak life. You know, we read the scripture last week, I think, Proverbs 18:21, I think it is. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We can speak good things or bad things about our lives. And so we have to watch what we say. So many people are not careful what they say. And if you're not careful what you say, and you just say whatever you want to say, you're inviting trouble to come to you. You know, you can cause your own trouble. You don't need any enemies. The devil doesn't have to even bother you. Learn the consequences of the unbridled tongue. Learn about what you say really matters. You know, we need to act like our Father. Let's imitate our Father God. You know, little children will copy their fathers or mothers. I've seen that on Facebook. I've seen little kids, you know, swear up a storm and we laugh, or people laugh about it because it sounds so cute. This kid's swearing, man. Woo-hoo! And then we said, where did he learn that from? So we need to copy whatever our Father says, what he says. How does God talk? Let's go to scripture here. It says in Hebrews 12:9, it says that God is the Father of all spirits. God is the Father of all spirits, Hebrews 12:9 says. That's what it says a bunch of things in that scripture, but what I'm pulling out of it is that God is the Father of all spirits. Before Jesus ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father, after his resurrection, he said these words, Mary, and to the other disciples, Jesus said to her, don't hold me, for I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God. John chapter 20, verse 17, World English Bible says. Jesus said his Father was our Father. Jesus said his Father was our Father, and his God is our God. That's a good confession. Say, God is my Father. You know, I remember I struggled with identity. You know, every kid struggles with identity. Everybody. Some go to the extreme. But I remember I struggled with that for a while. And then until I recognized that God is my Father, it changed the way I thought about my life. It changed about my identity. I'm a child of God. 1 John says that we are children of God. Some people, they're children of their ancestors only. They're First Nations first. They're Italian first, or they're Finnish first. No, we're children of God. We're spiritual beings. We're children of the Father God. Paul says, notice what Paul says over here in Ephesians 1:5-1, the World English. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Imitate God. Whatever God says, whatever he says about us, let us imitate what he said about us. He says, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm not the tail, I'm the head. I'm above, not beneath. That's what the scriptures are saying. I come up on top. Let's do what Abraham did. Abraham was our spiritual father, the scripture says. He emulated his father and called it as though it was according to scripture. He says over here, in the Romans 4:17, the Common English Bible. So this is for your commoners, Common English Bible, so anybody can understand this one. Any common English people here? Okay, so, as it is written, I have appointed you to be a father of many nations. This was when Father, I mean, God promised him this, and he was saying this to this man when he didn't have any children. He says, I have appointed you to be a father of many nations. So Abraham is our father in the eyes of God, in whom he had faith. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist into existence. What's not existence yet? Maybe your life that you look ahead. It's what are you confessing about your life over there? The scripture says there's all kinds of good things waiting for you. You know, just I just get excited when I read about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and the Amplified. You just read the Amplified, says that God has good things for us. There's a good path for me. A good path for me, waiting for me. There's good people to meet, great experiences to have. Praise God. I'm going to have them. I don't wake up every day thinking, oh, man, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't care how bad things get. I'm saying what God says. Because I know there's an enemy against me. And I know I make mistakes. I might make a wrong mistake, but God always takes me out of it. He helps me get back on track. Some of you, Sandra, you know, Sandra and Charlotte, her mom passed away yesterday. She was 87 years old. Sandra Monroe's mom. She went home to be with Jesus, praise God. 87 years old, preached till the end of her life, and was ministering, traveling around, doing the ministry. You know, praise God. You know, don't feel sorry for her. Feel sorry for yourself. You have to hang around with us all. Put up with the devil. Put up with each other. Okay. So Abraham has got her in the eyes of God. I mean, he's our father. So, as Ephesians 5:1 says, let's be imitators of God. Jesus, as I mentioned, he's our high priest. Right now, at the very side of the Father, he's listening to what you say. He's the very one who said in Mark 11, 20, 24, 23, he says, you know, you shall have what you say. People are having what they've been saying all their lives. People have what they say all their life. Oh, I'll never make it. Oh, you know, whatever things they've been saying all the time. You're sowing seeds of negativity in your life continually. You know, you need to repent right now and say, God, forgive me. Cancel all those words in the name of Jesus. There's a law of the confession of faith. There's a law. You turned it on. You need to stop it. So, we need to be slow to speak, as James says in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't be hasty, don't be quick to be quick-tempered to speak. Sometimes negative can bring a hopeless situation into your life. Here's what Proverbs 29:20 says, see how a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Don't just say whatever is on your mind. You're being foolish. Say what the Word of God. People are possessing what they have right now. Here's a good scripture for you. Proverbs 6:2 says, you're snared by the words of your lips. You're caught by the speech of your own mouth. In other words, you set the law in operation, what you've been saying about your life. Let's say what God says. Let's see what he says about our lives. No trash talking. Yourself or anybody else. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, slander no one. The New Living says, they must slander no one and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. That we should not, it says, remind the believers to submit to governments and officers and so on. Always be obedient. Ready to do what is good. You know, as I mentioned last time, we said we activate our angels. You know, angels are here right now. Angels are over you. Angels watch over you. You've been assigned an angel. But also other angels can come and help as well. When you speak God's word, they go into operation. And I don't have time to teach that right now, but they do go into operation. When you speak the word of God and you pray or say things, they go into operation right now. And they bring whatever you say because Jesus is your high priest. Amen. They're helping Jesus and you get the thing done. Amen. You know, we talked about angels. I've known personally people who've had visitations and saw angels and stuff. They go to work. Some of them disappear after they do the work and they're gone. I've known people who said that angels talked to them, and they saw heaven, they saw hell, and you know, the angel said, which way are you going to go, right or left? Angels are there for us to help us. They're ministering spirits, the Bible says. So, let's go get a couple of, the Bible says, you know, in Proverbs 18 and 6, fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They're asking for a beating. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. I didn't say that. One time I told my my partner, you know, one of my pastors, I said, come on upstairs, I want to talk to you. And I said, open the Bible and read this verse. Read Proverbs 18:6. And he read it. Fools ask for a beating. I said, oh, that's the wrong verse. Sorry. Praise God. So we can't. We have to watch what we say. We need to keep out of trouble. How many of us have acted foolishly by speaking wrong different times we shouldn't have said? We shouldn't open up our mouth. So let me read a couple more scriptures. Proverbs 18:21, we just said that. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who talk, love to talk, will reap the consequences. If you just love to talk without using your head, you can just say whatever you want. We shouldn't say negative things, right? We need to talk right. God says it's a serious matter to run off your mouth without any consideration. So speaking wrong has negative consequences. A mouth wide open can ruin things. Here's what the Proverbs writer said again, Proverbs 13:3. Those who control their tongue will have long life. Opening up your mouth can ruin everything. We can extend our lives. We can shorten our lives by how what we say, how we live. How many people know that God promised, listen, God promised everybody long life. He didn't say you're going to have 34 years and you'll have only 56 years. I'm sorry about that. That's how I'm going to put it that way. God says, no, everybody has long life. Now, what you do with it is up to you. What you eat, what you put in your body, if you just lay around all day long and just eat chips every day long, like, that has consequences. Huh? You know what I'm saying? If you just drive fast on the highway without thinking, whose fault is this? This is God's fault. He promised you a long life. If you smoke cigarettes and you can't breathe, half the time you're half living. Whose fault is it? People don't understand there's consequences of the way we treat our bodies. And so we blame the devil. Oh, the devil. No, you're the one that's the devil. You're the one that needs to be cast out. And just learn to deal with yourself. God says speaking wrong is so serious it can lead to death. Because that's why some people most likely are depressed and sick. That's why some people lack resources. That's why people invite trouble into their life. He said, life and death aren't a part of the tongue. Poverty is death working in the life of a person. Being sick is like death working in our bodies, right? So let's speak life over our bodies. Let's say, thank God, healing belongs to me, and, So within relationships, it can lead to fights and arguments, and sometimes without any solution. I heard some people who talked to me said, "You know what? This is over. This is over. There's no way we can go back to this situation and rectify this marriage." So, a fool, as you mentioned, Proverbs 18:6, gets them into constant trouble. Let me just read the scripture over here in Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. You know, we can deliver ourselves out of situations by the way we speak, how we pray. Don't pray your troubles. Pray the answer. You know what? Remember Hezekiah and, you know, when there was trouble? I think it's 1 Chronicles 29, somewhere on there, 28. When the enemies were attacking them, there was armies attacking the people of God, and they were too strong for him and his little army. How many people know that sometimes things like that are too strong, the situation is too powerful for you, you can't do anything? And he begins to recite to God what God said in his word. He began to confess what God already said. Did you say, God, that when we got into trouble, this would happen, and if we said this, you'd do this? And he went on and on and on and on, beginning to quote what God said. He quoted to God what he said about his situation in his life. Then he said, you know, God, this is too big for me. I'm not able to accomplish and fight against this big trouble I have. But you know what? I don't know what to do. And sometimes you don't know what to do. And you don't have the strength to overcome it. But he said, you know, I don't know what to do, but my eyes on you. And so we need to keep our eyes on the scripture. Keep our eye on what the Word of God says and say that about our lives. Make that our profession. Make that our confession of faith. Say what God's going to do about it. Don't say, you know, I don't know if God's a little slow here today. We prayed about it. Hawkins looks bad. He looks worse. Come on now. We've been praying all night here. Sometimes God tells you, stop that kind of prayer. Hey, get up. Stop that silliness and start acting like it's so. God had to talk to certain people in the Bible and tell them to stop acting like so silly. Hey, stop your crying. Wipe your eyes and start acting like the Bible's true. And he's telling us that. God can make something out of nothing. Sometimes we think we lost the only thing, our only friend in the whole world, and that there'll be no more money left, and that Chevrolet that was sold is the last one like it. You know, I went to the car place, and said, oh, just this one, you'll never see this one like this. Oh, man, he's going to go. There's five people coming here today. You better buy it right now. Yeah, then I said, sell it before I buy it. Oh, man. Praise God. You know what? Let's keep our confession of faith in the Word. Let's say what God says about us. Amen? Is he going to do you good? Or is he about to kill you? Does he want you to be poor and be lacking? praise God. Everybody stand up. Are you guys cold? I see some of you shivering. The reason why we kept that up, because we don't want anybody sleeping in the church. You know what? I love each one of you. And I thank God for you for hanging in. You know, I'm going to tell you something. God's been good to us. I want to thank every one of you who've been giving financially to Spirit of Life Television. We're going to have a big party. Everybody say October 26th. We're going to have a huge, huge party. Huge. And we're going to bring some singers, and everybody's going to be there. Anybody that's anybody in the Charismatic Zoo will be there. Everybody will be there. we're going to bring people. Even people that are not saved are coming. We're going to bring some unsaved performers, and we're going to just have a party and tell them about Jesus. Amen? I'm going to bring Jesus in the forefront and tell them that God loves them and pray for people. And so we're trusting the Lord. And the Lord has been blessing us. And I want to just say again, you know, again, I want to say it because I need to say it some more. That God is so good. Amen. You know, was it a couple of years ago, we had to lay off all the pastors because we had to pay we had to pay different things because we ran out of the money, you know. So I told the pastors, we had a staff meeting. I said, "Pastor, listen, we got that wing to do. It's $100,000. And I said, "You know, listen, I might have to lay everybody off, or you better have faith to believe God that we're going to get this done." And so we are able to get that done. And over there, Pastor, you know, I told the story last week about how Pastor Steve called me and said, "Pastor, listen, are you at home? Are you sitting down?" He says to me, "It's going to cost more than $100,000. It's $120,000, maybe $130,000, even maybe $140,000. I don't know." "Shut up!" He's stretching it out. He's speaking evangelistically. He stretches out like a real. And then he gets it. Okay, so I said, I'm bracing myself. Okay, so wait with it. Well, I'm going to believe God. We're going to believe God again. I'm like Hezekiah. I don't know what to do, but we're going to believe God. So then he gets it all. He got all these people coming in, look at that place, you know. He said, "Oh, yeah, we got to get that roof on. We get the rooftops on. First of all, we have to look at the roof and then come back." He called me next week. He said, "You know, Pastor, listen, we got to talk to you again. Where are you? Are you sitting down?" He said, "Listen, the rooftop is going to cost another $100,000. Maybe up to $150,000. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Don't call me again Monday. But I want to say that God got it done. I want to say that people stepped it up. There's people here that work hours. It would have cost thousands of dollars to get it done. They work hours tirelessly. There's one guy that I know that worked every day, hours on end, working over there. Just every day, putting his work in. How many people know that God sees that? How many people know that God saw you sleeping? I'm just kidding. Come on, Risa. But anyway, we got it done. And we had the assessment. Now, we got that other thing done. Now, that's a $200,000 job. And we didn't lose a cent. Our finances didn't go down. Spirit of Life offerings didn't go down. The church offerings didn't go down. In fact, they went higher. You see how good God is? And it's because we keep the confession of faith. They say, you know, we confess. Yeah, we got all the resources we need. We'll never run out. God's good. And somebody, the guy who came and did the thing, they could have cost us $100,000, but they cost us, what, $60,000. Thank God for that. They come and did the job. They said, "We're going to help you out." And I want to thank God because there's favor upon our lives. I want you to know that there's favor on your life. Well, if you need something done, favor is on your side. So don't forget about it. Begin to say it. No matter what happens, say the good thing. Say the right thing. Don't say, "This always happens to me." Just say, "Thank God. I know this is a bad situation, but God's on my side." We sang the song, "I'm not afraid what anybody can do for me, but God is for me." Amen. We're going to sing songs like that. So I want to thank you, everybody that's believing and putting their faith on, giving every week. Listen, don't give in. Keep giving. God is for you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I want to thank you for everyone here in the name of Jesus. Those that are watching live on live stream, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for everyone that's here right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift our hands towards the Beardy family, lost mama. We ask a special grace and mercy upon Sandra and Charlotte and all the Beardy sisters and brothers. We pray in the name of Jesus that may they have a good send-off for Mama, a great time of celebration of going, the home going. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for those that have traveled to Tulsa for the already over there for the camp meeting and those that are traveling today. We pray for the safe travel for there and back and pray that no tornadoes will get a hold of them. In the name of Jesus, and no cars will come across their way and they'll have a smooth sailing or smooth driving. They're not sailing. They'll not have a flat tire. The mechanicals will work. Electricals will work. And the coolers will work. And the dogs will be safe. In the name of Jesus, amen. And I pray that this week we're going to have a great week here. We thank you for what's happening Wednesday here. And then Sunday, next Sunday, we'll all be back Sunday. We thank you, Lord God. We're so grateful. Thank you for your goodness. And for everyone here that's not born again, I pray if you're not born again in this room right now, everybody bow your heads. I want to make this confession of faith. Say this. Everybody say this. Say, "God in heaven, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe that He died for my sins so that I can be born again or saved. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He's the Lord of my life. I will follow Him all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. If you made that prayer in this room or on television right now, God has saved you. You're now a child of God. You're born again. And anything you say will be used against you. Or it'll be good. It'll be good. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. I don't have a care in the world. Say, have all my needs met. Say, I'm never depressed. I'm always happy. I got all my needs met. I got all my friends with me. Thank you, Lord God. I'm born again. Amen. Have a wonderful day, guys.